The third point, third thing I was going to preach on this morning, that's not a little bit of the practical this morning, a little bit of the message this morning, second time, a little bit of the spiritual. It's not going to be such a long message. Oh, to be nothing, nothing. What a lovely hymn, isn't it? I met a missionary in Africa a few weeks back. At this town, I went into his house. Never met him before. He used to be an Amish years back. And he looked at me, and after a while said, "Roy, you are a natural leader." And then he so disappointed me, apart from saying that, which is, he said, "You should leave your mission. Because God intends greater things for you." And then he showed me videos of how he started missionary work across the world. 124 lands, he's got missionaries. His budget is 3 times bigger than our mission, or something like that. Probably much bigger than that. And he said, "Roy, your mission, I was there. They're going to strangle you and make you little. And you need to be a leader. You need to be a leader." And he showed me all the souls that are saved, you know. And he said, "Roy, I can tell you, God's telling you, you need to be a leader. Either you have to take over your whole mission yourself," strange guy, "or you have to be a leader." And I mean, he had a bit of evidence. He had missionaries in 123 lands. You see him going there on the rivers. He's really a dedicated guy. I said to him, "Well, 7 times at least in the New Testament, it says submit to your parents, to your master, to your church," in Hebrews 30. Different places it says submit. More than that than being a leader. Very little about leader. About 1/7 of the amount of verses telling you to be a leader or how to be a leader, 7 times more at least, talks you about how to be a follower. "No, brother, you haven't got it right. God is telling me and showing me you're going to be swallowed up by your mission." And he had, as I said, 123 lands to back. Huge organization. And I'm sure some souls got saved because he had a reasonable message. But, and I went home to my boss and I told him about it, out of interest, you know. I was trying not to laugh, actually. And because I'm so fulfilled in my mission, you know, being a little guy. I mean, I'm sitting in the middle of Natal. We've got probably one less, just in the list, most of the Hindus are there. So you've got less than 1 million Hindus, just about 900,000 an hour. You've got all these Muslims. You've got one town. There's the Muslim district, the black people's district, the white people's district. You've got all the different churches you've got in America, basically. Except those all as independents. And a few more, actually. And then you've got the Hindu part. And it's just like, it's a missionary paradise. I don't have to go to India to go to India. I just turn that way. If I want to go to Iraq, then I go that way. And there's just as much gunfights. It's an amazing place to be. I don't have to become this big leader going across the world to all these countries to be fulfilled. In fact, I don't even need where I am right now to be fulfilled. You need Jesus to be fulfilled. Only be nothing, nothing. We go out to them because we're indebted to them, not to be a great leader and a great preacher. And if you've lost that, I won't say you've lost everything, but you've lost close to everything. Now, just a few things. We have to live Jesus to people. You're not going to live Jesus if you want to be a leader. By the way, I spoke to my boss. He said that particular person, he worked with him years back. He said he worked underneath me. And one thing I noticed about him, he could never submit. There was no way. But he became a great leader. He got what he wanted. But I believe God gave him his request and sent leanness on his soul. And I wonder what he saw in me to be like him. I wasn't being humble enough that day. Anger. I've mentioned it before. If you're angry, if you witness to people, you can give the perfect message, all the different points. You can tell them everything that you're supposed to tell them, everything that will prove them wrong. And if you're angry in front of them, there are people, I've seen cases where someone was angry and God used, in spite of that anger, the people got saved. But in general, you'll turn people off. Just be patient, the Bible says. A little bit of practicalness, because it's going to be a short session. Tori said, all right, Tori, do you want me to be his right-hand man? He said, if you've got 3 people, or two people, or four people, or five people. Generally, it's good, unless you're really, really spiritual, which I'm not always, to let one person take the lead. Obviously, you shouldn't have Benny Hinn as one of the people to take the lead in the first place, but of the people who know their Bible reasonably, you should have one person take the lead. Why? Because generally, people, if you're having a debate, you talk too much. And I've got the answer, no, you've got the answer. You don't give him time to talk. One of the most important things doing when soul winning is give them a chance to speak. I sometimes sit there, I've got a long time, and they're willing to speak, sometimes they aren't, and I'll just let them speak. Some of them are quiet, so I just speak. But I mean, honestly, I'll say something, and they love to speak, and I'll speak about my everything, and then I'll speak again, and I'll ask them questions, and they'll answer. Let them talk about their family, let them talk about their whatever. But I've seen this. I once went to a soul with a friend of mine, and he was saying a little off from the right answer, and I thought I got a better answer. And he wasn't really saying wrong, my friend. It was just I had a different aspect. It wasn't like he was saying you only get saved by falling over or something like that. He was saying reasonable stuff. And I decided, no, I've got a better answer. So I came from my side, and he came from his side, and I came from my side, and he came. At the end of that day, we just ruined that. We ruined that situation. And many times, some people, I've got friends, I can work with them. I go door to door, we know each other. I mean, he'll know when to speak, I'll know when to speak, we'll know when to keep quiet. But sometimes I just keep quiet. Because the other guy just talks and talks. He doesn't give that person a chance. If I add anything, I'm more not giving him a chance to speak. And you're just turning him away. So that's a little practical side of the spiritual side. Obviously, I'm going to recap, but the first one he said was trust in Jesus. Utterly trust in Jesus. Don't put pressure on yourself when you speak to self. Be broken over them, but don't go there having to make them a Christian. Go there to tell them the truth about their state and what is the truth. To break, let the light of God break through. Through the Holy Spirit. Pray on your own. You know, it's not always easy. Prayer is labor, the Bible says in Colossians. But it's something we have to choose to do. We don't always feel led to do it. Sometimes I feel led to pray. Let's go pray. But most times I think, okay, when can I get a time to pray? Let's go away from all my friends and go for a walk. Because with your friends, you just love to talk. That's one of the things I love to do. Get people to pray for you. Oh, when I was young, and I still do. Oh, you travel far. I'd rather, listen to this. You can get 1,000 liberal people to pray. They've got Jericho walls in South Africa. Millions of non-Christians praying. They say. Let's get everybody to pray. Does that help? Is there power in that? No. If you phone a great preacher, if you're all phoning, there's a guy in South Africa, Billy Murray. He knows his Bible off by heart. Really does. Absolutely. He knows the Bible off by heart, and from verse 1 to the last verse. He knows the Greek off by heart, the Hebrew off by heart, the Latin off by heart. He can quote the entire Bible. He's one of our greatest preachers. When he went out of the country, they started saying about his church, huge denomination across South Africa, started saying, let's approve gay marriage and stuff like that. They were so scared of him. I mean, the professors bring all this Greek and stuff to disprove the Bible. He just said, my little child, I've listened to him. It's scary. You don't take him on. And so many souls have been saved through him. But if I phone him and everybody phone him, well, you wouldn't get much prayer, would you? Even though he's a godly guy who prays for hours. I'd rather find an old lady who's truly saved, who not many people know about, and get to be friends with her on the phone, and get her praying for me, than the great Billy Murray. I never phoned Billy Murray to ask him to pray for me. If I met them, I'd ask him. And that's what you do. You get people. You get young people, little kids that are saved. You know they're saved. Encourage them to pray with you. I do that. I go around praying with little kids. They phone me on the phone. Roy, when are you coming again? I'm not coming there. Little kids love big kids. And yet big kids think they can only pray with big kids. They cry if I don't come to them. And I don't. I just play with them and pray with them. I mean, pretty simple. I love kids. This one kid comes up to me and says, all right, let's pray. Say, okay, it's 5 years old. Let's pray. We go outside and pray. Oh, Lord, help us here. And he's praying. I thought, this is a saint. This guy only reads his Bible 12 hours a day. He's not a kid. And then suddenly he says, wait, in the middle of his prayer. That's stone. Wow, man. This is so amazing. Yeah, Lord. And he carries on. I love kids. It's just absolutely amazing. I wish I had 50 of them. We'll see what happens. Great preachers, just get people praying. I once phoned a revivalist. A guy had revival. Encourage people to pray for your soul winning. This is going off another trend. It's prayer and, you know? Praying for soul winning. But let's just talk about prayer. I phoned a guy who had revival. He brought my great-grand to the Lord. He was Durban Central Prison. For 2 weeks, they cried down the corridors in brokenness. The prisoners brought each other to the Lord. He tried to start 13 churches at the same time at one stage. He was so on fire for God. My dad used to use it. In his old age, people forgot about him. And he started to lose his fire. And I phoned him. I didn't know about this. I just said, can I come visit you? I visited him. I visited him a lot. I said, phone him. Please pray for me all the time. Please pray for me every few weeks. He told my dad once. He never told me. I got my fire back by a little boy who's done nothing. He didn't say those words, but it's true. Just phone him and say, pray for me. And boy, he's on fire. And you'll see that revivalist. I love him. Now, when you come to prayer, some people kind of claim that you have to almost earn the prayer. You have to pray. They claim they have an either or philosophy. They say, yeah, this place is absolutely dead. And so, the true praying is to pray and pray and pray and pray until we bring heaven down. That's very dangerous because if you get a certain level of emotionalism, people have been known the demons start to manifest in people's lives. I know people like that. Suddenly, they were praying to God, but they built themselves to such an emotional state, praying to God, that their minds started down. It was like a trance. And when that happened, the horrible things happened to them. But they were trying to build themselves. And that's true. Some people do it and it works, but they don't get up to that level. But that's not... You don't have to earn your right to speak to God. You must have a burden. You must pray. You must pray from your heart. But when you pray to God, Jesus died. Therefore, we can come to God. Obviously, if we're living in sin... Well, if you sin today, ask God for forgiveness and mean it. And then you can pray. If you're living in sin, well, then get saved. If you're just a normal person who struggles at the time, you come to God because of what? The blood of Jesus Christ. In one moment, you don't have to build it up. You don't have to say after 30 minutes, the guy's going to get saved. This guy comes out not by prayer and fasting. True, I do. And it's wonderful. I know a person in South Africa. He preached. He's dead now. He was an old friend of mine. Preached for about 40 years. I don't know how many years. Over those 40 years, he never got a soul. One old godly man prays hours every morning. Yes, he prays for hours. Nothing wrong with that. It's good to pray hours. It's good to pray 1 hour. It's good to pray 2 hours. It's good to pray 3 hours. It's good to pray 1 hour as well. It's not bad. It's not this is good and that's bad. It's good to pray much. But anyway, he came to him and he said, listen, brother, I've been, this is not the guy who prays so much, this is the other guy who preaches, and he prays. And he said, listen, I've for so many years preached and not one soul comes to the Lord. And he didn't go, this guy said, let me pray for you. He didn't go down to his knees and, he just said, dear Father, please give, brother, and he named his name, a soul soon. A week later, he had his first soul, not soul that came out radically saved, and it was the last soul he ever got. But, the point is now, God, I believe, answered that prayer of that godly man. Did he have to pray for 30 minutes before? No, it's good to pray for 30 minutes. It's good to pray for honor. But you must believe that sometimes when you just pray a sentence, God can answer. Because you come through the blood of Jesus Christ. Other times, it's good to pray through, as they call it. But that's not the only way, as some people would say. I mean, some people say you only get answered if you pray out loud. Hannah prayed in her heart. This whole book's written about praying out loud, which is fine and it works, but so does praying in your heart. Not either or. You must pray for doors. Pray for laborers. There's a few things you can pray for. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Not your harvest. You're not the leader who takes over the world. It's his harvest. George Muller wanted to have people going forth to preach the gospel out of his church. And nothing much was happening, I think. And then he eventually started praying. And they prayed, and they prayed. Lord, send forth laborers. You said that's the way it must go. I think 70 people from his church eventually went. Any church of the year with 70 missionaries? By prayer. God said by prayer. So there it is. Pray. Obviously, we must also preach, but pray. Pray for doors. I know a person in Africa, one of those churches. Obviously, I mentioned there's some doors are just amazing ideas like chalk art. But this one person, he honestly prayed day by day by day by day, Lord, open up the door of this one dead church. My father was a minister there across the country, millions of people in this church. Open up the door every single day. Other people are like, why are you praying? I mean, it's so obvious they closed. There came a day after years when God answered that prayer where suddenly those doors started open in that church. He went to those churches, and in South Africa, he preached. 100 people the first night, 200 people the next. He was in our mission. 300, 400, up to 600 people coming from all over the town, listening to the priest. Little children in tears. Broken. And that was just an answer to prayer. He also knows most of his Bible for heart. Amazing fellow. Much of his Bible. But I mean, he didn't just get the door. He prayed and prayed. And God does answer those prayers. Colossians 4 verse 3. And sometimes only a few years later, so keep on praying. And think of ideas. Isn't God perhaps not just opening the door? He's giving me an idea how that door can open. Let's try it. If it doesn't work, well, it didn't work. Try something else. Colossians 4 verse 3, as I said before, with all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance, Paul says, to speak the mystery of Christ. We must pray for people in other lands to have doors. And pray for the people in prison to have doors. It's people who are, I think in the last 100 years, the most bloodthirsty, martyred, Christian martyr century of them all. Over 100 million people died in the name of Christ. Much more than other centuries. And if you think about that, there's people in prison right now, a lot of people in prison. In Sudan, they bomb you with, they take supersonic jets, they go over you and they bomb churches. They've killed, I think, over 1 million Christians there. One country. Christians, not all Christians, but they stand up for Christians. Many of them are Christians. And you have to think to yourself, these guys need prayer. Hebrews 13 verse 3, remember them that are in bonds as bound with them. And them which suffer adversities being yourselves also in the body. You must pray for those in bonds that they might have even doors to preach the gospel and that they might be able to sustain themselves and not give up. Lastly, we should get to the point where we're not jealous with those being used more than you. I struggle with it. I wanted to be used in revival. Lord, give me revival. I pray, Lord, use me. But I sometimes pray, Lord, use him more than me. And I mean it. I once prayed through an entire day, fasted that day, and I remember at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, there came a point where God broke through my heart. And I just wished everybody on earth could get used. It's part of me never getting used. As long as someone gets used. 2 preachers in South Africa who became great preachers. They used to sit preaching with each other in our mission. One preached, the other preached. One night the one preached, one night the other preached. You know what they testified later? I don't know if it was one or both, but I think it was both. They used to sit there praying, Lord, please, no one respond what he preaches. And they honestly did that. And you know, I remember, I wasn't a guy who was really jealous of people and angry, but there was times when the devil came and he started making me, he's spoken to a few more than you, and he's done a bit more than you, and he spoke better than you, and a few more people came out, and what do the people think about that? And you don't think about it, but you do think about it. You've got to get to the point where that, and perhaps you have to get it to daily, die daily, but really it's not about that. Do your best. Don't get so, not about that, I can do what I want. And I can do a bad job for God and it's fine. No, you pray. You prepare your sermon. You prepare yourself to go forth. You go forth. You give the best arguments you can. But you don't go forth trying to be better than other people. It will just lead to depression and false converts. As I can guarantee you did. Another thing we have to realize is a spiritual warfare. We only pray, we ask God to resist Satan. And there's a lot of funny things going out there like this. You've got the churches where they see Satan behind. Every single Friday, the Universal Church in South Africa get all their congregation together to check out the demons that they got during the week. That's not what I'm talking about. But I do know that the Satan is warring over souls. And sometimes when you speak to people, you actually have to ask God, rebuke him away. so that something can come through. My one uncle, great uncle, he said he was speaking to this person, nothing could get through, and then he asked God, rebuke Satan away, and that moment suddenly he could hear, and he could get the message through to that person. And that's not something you should go into as a doctrine or something we have to do all the time or something that we have every single time we turn around another direction we have to pray, something like that. It's just something that you might have to do sometimes, asking God when you go out, protect us. The people that we speak into, rebuke thou the devil away from them. And lastly, Matthew 8, 28 verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them. And this is not the end of what we're doing now, in case anybody was hopeful. Matthew 28 verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. And that's a command. Tonight I'm going to do something totally different on the topic. But I'd like to ask now, how many of you know, this is not to get you feeling bad about yourself, but how many are obeying this? How many are you obeying this? Are you actually, you know, I went through times when I was lukewarm. It's so easy. It's the easiest thing in the world not to do anything. Ask me, Mr. Lazy. I went through times where I sat at home and I honestly what did it stop? Did I have this huge angel appear to me and say, you must go forth and preach the gospel to every creature? No. Sometimes I saw someone else with fire and I thought, sure, I've lost it. Other times I just thought, Roy, what's been happening? Now let me think. Perhaps I should just at that time in this week, I've got a time off. Let's see what I can do. Well, that place is totally closed. You just get little boxes where you're talking to them and say, hello, I want to talk to you about Jesus. Sorry, bye, okay, cool. That's a practical place to go. And I just went, and then it started again. It's just wonderful. Understand? It's so easy to do nothing. I could easily go through years and never witness to a soul. Easy. So who of you are obeying as Christians? It's not easy. Some of those people don't like you. But some of them are so friendly. You know what I noticed? When I first went out to witness, like they're all going to bite my head off. What I noticed is some of them do. They really bite your head off without actually hungry. I've had dogs that almost bit my head off. You know, you go to the doors and you're trying to give them tracks there and you go, and there's the postal box on the other side and there's this big dog with a thick, thick neck. And it's going like this. You know? And I'm going, and eventually, well, just in between, well, I just get it in, you know. And I walk into these things to find people, and I come to the other side, and there's a big dog there, and the people scream at me, what are you doing? This thing would have killed you if I wasn't here. They'd tell you off the head. And I agree, it would have, but can I please give you a track now? And, I mean, I've been in houses where there's a dog, and this dog is right next to me, licking my leg, and the lady's telling me how it ate up this person and killed it and chewed it to the bones, and they couldn't kill it because the person was a thief, and it's like, get away, please. I mean, no one ever comes back there to steal stuff. And that's what we have in South Africa. Because we've got the second highest crime rate in the world, we have big dogs who are taught to yap. They're taught to kill. Some of them. And so you go around. It's dangerous soul winning. Watch me. I go in the whole yard like. Anybody? Cool. Halfway through, the dog comes bigger. And it looks at you. And I look at it. And as I turn back, it starts going forward. It's now wandering. I know if I run, it's faster than me, and there's too far from the gate. And eventually I get through the gate. Brother, it is scary, dogs. And that's the truth. But, I mean, people are not so scary generally. I mean, I spoke at the park. The first two people didn't like me. They just said, sorry, bye. You know? The second people were friendly. I didn't get much said. The third person, I could speak for a long time. Sure, you can speak. There's ways of not offending them, but and people have to realize, you know, the people out there are not so scary. They're Americans. Americans eat hamburgers, they don't bite. People. They're not like Africa cannibals. Africa, Americans hamburgers. Get it? Okay. So, who are you all going for? Just get, you know what makes it easier? Get your friend to go with you. And fail again, and make mistakes. But learn from your mistakes. But just go. Someone must go. Sorry.